Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. It's good to be gathered in His name. I want to remember the Hodgson family tonight in prayer. Their mother passed away, and the funeral was today. They lived right across from us, you know, and when we lived in Dromore and Hawthorne Walk, when they had, there was eight of us, one corner, Glenn and Hodgins in the other corner. And one Glenn Purvis in beside that. So there was about 20, just out of three households. And you know, when we were wee lads, you got in any trouble, you went for Noel Hodgson or Jeff. They were big grown fellas when we were only wee lads. But the mum passed away. I don't know if the woman was saved or not. I don't know. Harry Hodgson got saved. Used to go to the Elam in Dromore and he got saved. Harry was a powerful man for drinking and all, but he got saved. And shared his testimony a few times and everything. So they know the truth, you know. Praise God. So we just want to pray for them. Let us turn the night till John's Gospel, and the Lord bless each one. And I just want to share a wee bit about Christ, the first fruits. I would like more time with this to go into it more, but I have some thoughts I just want to bring tonight. Praise the Lord. It's the end of the brothers coming in, you know. You heard me mentioning about a fella cursing me at work. Well, he near died at the weekend there. Now, when I mean he cursed me, I mean he really cursed me badly. And every time I tell him to stop, he went on the harder. Well, he ended up in the Ulster Hospital for 4 days. They thought he had a heart attack. And I can show you on my phone the messages he sent me to pray for him. And I prayed for him when he's been released and let home again. God is merciful. God is merciful, I'm telling you. And the Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointed. And no matter if somebody's familiar to you or not, if they're the Lord's anointed, you better leave them alone. Because God's word can't fail, sure it can. But the Lord can save them at the same time, where he curses or not. Let's read from verse 25 down to verse 29 of John 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, I want you just to pause at that. I want to break this into two things tonight. And I believe that can be to those. There's the spiritual dead and there's the living dead. There's the real dead. Now, let's read on then. Let's read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, all of them, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the dead. So that they're all going to hear his voice. Let's bow our heads tonight. Praise the Lord. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. We want to pray. I know Sister Jenny and the family, some of them were very sick and everything. And then Colin, we, George and everything had it as well. So we want to just pray the Lord will touch them. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the precious and lovely name Thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're nothing tonight, but you're everything. And we thank you that you give your life a ransom for all. We bless your name, Lord Jesus, that you bled and died on the cross that we might be forgiven. Lord, you took the curse that was ours on your own self on the cross. You suffered and died alone. But on the third day, God raised you from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And you're the propitiation for our sins. Lord, I pray tonight you'll bless each one in this house. I pray for the hands raised, you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. I ask you, Lord Jesus, for those who ask for prayer. Lord, you know their names, that you'll touch them and minister to them. For those that's not saved amongst them, save them. For those that are your people, heal them and raise them up, we pray. Sanctify this room tonight. Sanctify this vessel. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Bless your people and meet their every need. And pray for all the children, Lord, that you bless them and keep them. Cover them with your blood and save every one of them. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those of the family members and friends that's been sick, that you'll heal them. And we do lift before you the Hagen family at this time and all the family circle, Lord, at this time of bereavement. We pray you'll comfort them and strengthen them and speak to them. And may they take preparation to be ready for that great day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord good. You know, Jesus here is using two different phrases in verse 25, specifically in verse 28. What I mean by that is that he uses all that are in the graves. Now, the Lord's word is to the dead that are living, and they're actually dead. Now, I'm going to try and explain that, and I know we know these things, but it'll do us good to hear them again anyhow. Yeah, man and a woman that's not saved is dead. They're dead. But Jesus has words that can make them live. And it's only the gospel that can make a man or a woman live. They're here, they're existing, but they're dead. And every one of us, before we were saved, we were dead. And the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we needed to hear the Lord's voice. Now we know that there's a spiritual and there's a physical aspect of it. And I want to sort of talk about the both. And I believe the Lord began something that has continued. And what the Lord began, the Lord said, I have words that can make you live. That was the gospel message. And the gospel message today is the only thing that can make a man or a woman live. There's nothing else can do it. Only the gospel. Joining church won't do it. Signing your name in somewhere won't do it. Joining the lodge won't do it. But it's only through receiving the gospel and repenting and accepting Christ by faith that'll do it. You'll be quickened from the dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1 said, and you have he quickened who were dead, trespasses and sins. Now here we see Paul's words to those dead, trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, alienated from God. And you know, Paul here's quoting Isaiah the prophet. Paul is preaching from the Old Testament many times when Paul's preaching. If you look at Ephesians 5:15, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. He's quoting Isaiah. Now, when Paul is preaching to those awake from the dead, they're not physically in the grave. They're walking about living, but they're dead. And how many people today is walking about thinking they're living well, but they're actually dead? They're dead. And every man that's not born again is dead in trespasses, and he's dead in sin. And it's only through obeying the gospel that they can have life. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus was fit to give life. Spiritually dead in sin. And I believe that the Lord was speaking of the spiritually dead in sin here and the litter, both. I believe he's talking about both. And there's no way we can live without the words of the Lord. And those that's in the grave are not coming out. This is another thing I was thinking about the rapture and all as well. People talk about, you know, when we put all the T's together and the dots, and you know what I mean, we'll go. They won't. It's his voice that calls us out. If our bodies go in there, and the Bible's clear in that, absolutely clear. The Lord calls us out. from the dead. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear his voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear it shall live. And you can look at this two ways. You could say, well, that's in the grave. But also, the Lord's talking to people that's there then. Now, they were living, but they were actually dead. And when you preach the gospel to the unsaved, they're spiritually dead. They need regenerated. And they need to hear the gospel. Now, Jesus is speaking about the response to those that are dead and sin, and they have to hear the voice of Christ. And that voice of Christ is the preaching of the gospel. How many knows the gospel is a message? Paul the Apostle tells us it is. Paul the Apostle said it's unto us, it's the power of God. It's the power of God unto us that believe the gospel. And it's the power of God that brings us from the dead, because we're aliens without it. Look at what Jesus says here. Those who hear will live. That's what he says in verse 25. Those that will hear live. Now you can preach it to a lot of people, but they'll not all hear it. But the ones that hear it will live. They'll have a response to it. A lot of souls who receive the message for faith and they get forgiveness of sins, accept Christ for faith, they receive eternal life. Jesus says the hour is coming and now is. That is to say, the preaching of the gospel to men dead in sins, it commenced under Christ. You know, we preach the gospel to them. The Lord started it. Now, when you go to the book of Acts, you'll read that as well. Because when you go to the book of Acts, here's what you'll read. All that Jesus began has to be continued. And that's the preaching of the gospel. And this gospel's to dead men. And it's only through the living Lord that they can survive. Now, it's also in the spiritual dead, but also then those that are actually in the grave. They're going to have to hear his voice as well. In verse 28 and 29 of John 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, all, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of condemnation. So every single one that's in the grave, the good and the bad, they're all coming forth, and they're all going to hear his voice. And that's something that the Lord's calling them out. Now, I want to emphasize this tonight, because I don't ever hear much of this preached anywhere. Not that I'm anywhere to be heard preaching. But you know what I'm saying? You never hear it mentioned much like that. People talk about the rapture, talk about the Lord coming, but they never talk about the Lord's voice. And it's the Lord's voice that'll bring them out of the grave. They'll hear his voice. And that's something. I tell you, something is something when you hear his voice. I can tell you that changes everything. See, Jesus says, firstly, the hour's coming. That means you could say it's in the future. The hour's coming. He's talking in the future. The hour's coming. So it hadn't been fulfilled at that time. And then here's another thing he says. Jesus uses a phrase. All who are in the grave. All. This clearly refers to those who have actually died and been buried. They're in the grave. And he also makes it clear all these, without exception, will hear his voice. All. See, I'll tell you, you hear people saying, the Lord never spoke to me, ever. That's a lie. God has spoke to everybody. Because he says he's spoken to us in these last days through his Son. Nobody's going to have an excuse. There's not a man or a woman's going to have an excuse. They're not going to be able to point at Tommy McKinsey and say, well, he done this or that, and that's why I didn't come. They're not able to point at you and say, he done this or that. They, as individuals, have to make their own choice. Just like we've all children, we have sons and we have daughters in the natural, but God's no grandchildren. Every one of them's going to have to be saved, and every one of them's going to have their own experience. None of us can take them in our experience. They'll have to have their own. He says also here that all that those that's in the grave will come forth in the resurrection. Now I want you to see in verse 29, there's the resurrection of life and there's a resurrection of condemnation. So they're not all in the same resurrection. We know that. I've mentioned that already. Now, you know, Daniel also talks about that. And Daniel 12, verse 1 to 3, if you want to turn it, our brother put it up, Daniel 12, verse 1 to 3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. But they're going to all awake. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And both the Old Testament and New Testament speaks of two distinct phrases. Two distinct phrases. That is the righteous and the wicked. And there's no other way you can go around it. A man that's not born again is alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. He's a stranger from the covenant of God. He's under the wicked. Then you have those that's saved and born again. They're the righteous. They're under Romans 4. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you see, there can be no judgment for them like the judgment of the unsaved. The only judgment for the believer will be a judgment of reward, but not to condemn them. It can't. And if it can, then the blood of Christ was no point to having it. Romans says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But there'll be a judgment. We'll have to give an account. There's no doubt about that. We know that. So you see, there's the wicked, and in each case, the resurrection of the righteous precedes the resurrection of the wicked. I want you to get that as well. There's stages to this resurrection. The one precedes the other. Now we also see from the New Testament the voice of Christ himself, the Son of God, that will call the dead in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 to 24. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. And that's really my subject for the night. I won't get it finished tonight. Christ the firstfruits. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, and he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Now, I want you to notice the phrase, each one in his own order. I want you to get that for a minute now. Now, this word, translated order, is used to describe the rank of soldiers. And the soldiers come in line, they come in order. And I believe God showed me this. There's an order with God. God does not do something haphazardly. And when God comes for his people, it'll not be out of order, or, you know, it can just happen in a way. God knows nothing about it. God knows all about it. It's planned already. It's all already planned. We don't know all the details, and we don't need to know, and we won't know. Now, I know there's people and they say they know everything. They have every single revelation I showed it. And they say that when we get in line, this is what they say, they preach, when we get in line, we'll go. We'll go on the rapture when we get in line. And then you say to them, what do we have to do to get in line? What instructions? But you know, sitting there the night, let's be honest, the thing you need to be ready is the Holy Spirit. That's it. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're ready to go now. And the Lord could come before the morning. But what I'm telling you, God has an order. And God's always had an order. It's the devil that brings the chaos and the calamity. But God's a God of order. I believe that. God's a God of order. And when this resurrection takes place, there'll be an order to it. Now you know when we preach about the catching up, there's an order to it. Because the unsaved's not going, and that when we're called out of the grave saying, or if we go to the grave, we can still be living. You know what I'm saying? But when that rapture takes place, the unsaved's not going then. They're been left still in the grave. We will go and be with the Lord. And there'll be a time period, but eventually they'll be raised as well, even the unsaved. We know that. But you see, this word here, order, is used to describe a rank of soldiers, and Paul pictures a resurrection occurring in three phases, like three ranks of soldiers, marching past, one behind the other. This is the way Paul describes it. Now, you could say it like this. The first phase consists of Christ himself. He is already risen. Then, that's the first fruits. Now, the first fruits is what goes first. Now, how did he do it? How we're going to do it? And you know, when you go to the book of Acts, and why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you've seen go up will come in like manner. And we know he went up into the cloud. Isn't that right? And we believe when we're changed and we go up into the cloud. The same thing. Now the second phase consists of the three blood-washed, spirit-filled believers which is in Christ. When he returns, we'll meet him in the air. Those who are at Christ's coming. You see, we're going to go and we're going to go to be with the Lord. Whether you believe 3.5 years, 7 years, you could argue on it, but it's not really make a big difference. But the one thing is, we're going. But we know at the end of that time, we're coming back with him. And we're going to stand on the Mount of Olives with him. And there's a whole lot of message in that. I haven't got time to get into the night, but we know that. We know that. But here's this third phase. And this third phase is called the end. Now that is the end of Christ's earthly reign of 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, there's going to be people raised. They're going to be raised up. Now they're not all lost either at the end of that 1,000 years. And they're not all lost either at the end of the tribulation. Now I know them's different subjects from what I haven't time to go into the night, but you know that there's a number that comes out of the tribulation that no man can number, robed in white. Who are these robed in white? They're coming out. How many knows the foolish virgin's not lost? She's not lost, she's still saved. But there's a bride and there's a foolish virgin. The ones filled with the Holy Spirit go in the rapture. One's not filled with the Holy Spirit are not going in the rapture. But I don't want to confuse you. But what I'm just trying to point out is that the unsaved, a lot of people have this idea when they go to the grave, that's it, over, done and dusted. But it's not. They're coming out. They are coming out. And I'll tell you, they're going to get their chance. They're going to stand judgment. And you see all the things that's been done, what people think, that's it, brushed under the carpet, as it were. God knows everything. Not right. You know there's 1,000-year reign, and at the close of which he will deliver up the kingdom to God. Jesus will deliver up the kingdom to God. And those resurrected at this stage, the majority, now they're not all ones lost. We know that. Will belong to the resurrection of the wicked foretold in the book of Daniel. And you can look further at that in Revelation 20. You can go into Revelation 20 and you can see that as well. Now, I want just for a moment, and I'm going to close in a moment or two, but I want to just you see basically the typology of the first fruits, where it comes from. It comes from the Old Testament, but it's about the Lord and it's real. And Paul uses this language. Paul uses it. Christ, the first fruits. That's the language he's using. By this phrase, Paul compares the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the ceremony of presenting the first fruits of the harvest to the Lord. That's where that phrase comes from. And the children of Israel were learned that it was ordained for them to do it. Israel was told to do it. Moses told them to do it, that they're to offer of the first fruits of the ground to the Lord as a wave sheaf offering. On Jesus Christ being the real wheat that fell into the ground. And on the third day God raised, he was waved for us. Now I've heard people saying of an our man that he was waved. Now I'm going to tell you in this meeting tonight, I do not believe that. How would you wave another? Christ has been waved. That's it. There's no scripture for another wave sheaf. Christ is the wave sheaf. You cannot replace it with something else. That would bond the word. Do you realize that? You can't do that. But you see, somebody's had a revelation there. But I'm sorry, that's a revelation of all deceivableness, of all unrighteousness. See, we're living in our deception. It has to line with this Bible. It must dovetail through it. No use plucking out a wee verse for your own idea. You see, people do that as well with William Branham's message. They pluck out a wee bit somewhere and they take a bit of what he says and they don't read all the rest of it. They're just like, oh, believe in the message. And you have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say that. He says more than that. He says the life of Jesus Christ must be living in you. But they don't quote that bit of it. They quote the bit that suits their doctrine. But we want all the word, don't we? Let's turn to Leviticus just to see where this phrase comes from. And this is really what I'm wanting to talk about, the first fruits, Christ, the first fruits. Leviticus 23, verse 10 to 11. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave the sheaf. So when you as the person, according to the law of Moses, and it had to be brought to the priest, you couldn't do it yourself, and it was the first sheaf from your harvest was brought. So that's the first sheaf, and there's lots of other sheaves to follow it. It's waved for you before the Lord. And Jesus Christ, being a priest himself, was waved for us before the Lord. And just as Christ was accepted in that he was waved, and just as this is the first fruits, then there's other fruits that's going to follow, and we will be them other fruits, for we will be raised from the dead. And he was raised up, and he got a glorified body as well. How many knows that? Didn't he say in one place, don't touch me? I must ascend to my God and your God. Didn't he say that? The glory which I had with thee before the world began, I'll have it again. That's what he says. And I tell you, that's the glory of the Lord. This sheep of the first fruits weaved before the Lord is a picture of Christ coming forth from the dead as a sinner's representative and being of a new creation. That's what we are. Because that sheep was weaved, we could be a new creation. We could never come out of them graves if Christ hadn't done it. But because Christ done it, we're coming out. That's why Paul says, sin will have no more dominion over you. It's more than just sinning. When Paul says sin will have no more dominion over, there's more to it. It's going right back to what sin brought. Sin brought death. And death itself will have no dominion over us. For Christ has conquered it. Because he's our wave sheaf offering. We're accepted in him. We only could approach God because of him. We only can be accepted before God because of him. Now, I'll tell you, it's bad stuff when people put another man in that position to say they're doing that. I'll tell you, that's Antichrist. That's false teaching. That's no different than the Pope of Rome. What's the difference? That might have an our name over it or another title. And maybe, but it's the exact same thing. It's birthed from the same thing. It's not birthed from God. So there's only one other place it's birthed from. People that are listening stop the day, and I'm telling you now, as your brother John says, it's full nonsense. Not just the ordinary nonsense, but full nonsense. That there's truth in it, isn't there? But God wants us to be established in the truth. And I believe the Lord wants that. Praise God. You see, the Scripture's accurate. Scripture's absolutely accurate. And there's keys to the Bible. And when you get the keys, it goes right through the whole book. And everything dovetails. And that's the way God's word worked. You see, this sheaf of the first fruits was the first complete fruit to rise up out. You know, the seed that had been buried earlier in the earth has come out. And even Jonah was a type of it, wasn't it? And the Bible says as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man, but 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The seed went into the earth, but it rolls up, and it's the first fruits. And it's waved before the Lord for us. Moses told the children of Israel that the priest was to wave this sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on their behalf. That's the words he used. Look at Romans 4 and 25, and then we're going to pray. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That should make you rejoice tonight. The Lord was raised. The resurrection of Christ not only vindicated his own righteousness, but it also made it possible for the believer to be reckoned equally righteous with Christ before God. You say, how could he be reckoned equally righteous? Because of Romans 4. It's Christ's righteousness we're working with. We have none of our own. But we've got his, so now we have something. But it's the Lord's. Amen. And I tell you what, you think Jesus said accept it exceeds out of the Pharisees. You know, for the Lord said that. But his does. His does exceed. It does exceed out of the Pharisees. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Let's come and pray tonight, and let's really pray for those families. You don't have to name them. If you don't want to, just feel free. But you can pray. You know, the Lord knows who you're talking about. Pray the Lord will really get a hold of them, and that the Lord will save them and deliver them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening. You are truly the first fruits of the resurrection, that wave sheaf that was waved for us before God. Lord, how we appreciate you tonight. How we thank you tonight. How we bless you tonight. We thank you for your righteousness that exceeded that of the Pharisees. Lord, your word says they could find no fault in you. You're the spotless, blameless Lamb of God. And you absolutely stood in our room in our stead. You took our place. And we thank you that all we have to do is only believe. Only trust him. Lord, we're trusting you by faith. We're believing in you. We're also praying you'll fill us with the Holy Spirit. We believe you're a God of order. That you know the exact time. The word of God says that God knows when he will come. And Lord, we know that you know everything, that all's in control of your hands, your plan and your purpose. And we just submit ourselves to you. And we ask that you'll lead us and guide us. We acknowledge you in all our ways. We pray you'll bind every work of the devil, spoil his goods in Jesus' name. Bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Pray for every son, every daughter, aunt, uncle, niece and nephew, husband and wife. It's near and dear in our hearts. We claim every single one of them under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray you'll save every one of them. We pray, Lord, for all those that come to this fellowship. Your hand will be upon them. We ask for those that's backslidden, you restore them and renew them. We pray for your own people that are sick or afflicted. Lord, that you'll heal them. You said many afflictions are righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Deliver your people, I pray. Revive us, Lord, in the midst of the years. Bless the meetings that lay ahead. We think especially of our brother Andrew Beecham as he prepares to come. We pray you'll prepare the hearts, prepare the lives, and prepare your servant with the words you want him to bring. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. meet every need tonight. You've seen the hands raised at the very start. You know every need. I pray you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. And I pray for that wee man at work, Lord. You know who he is and all about him. Lord, I pray you'll give him a different tongue and you'll cause him to call in your name and you'll get saved. And then he'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one as we continue to pray.